Hi everyone, welcome to Let's Talk Mercedes, the podcast by Mercedes-Benz. This is all about exciting topics like mobility, innovation, technology, and much more. To open up new perspectives and to gain deeper insights, we meet experts from inside Mercedes-Benz and experts from all over the world. My name is Sarah Elze, I'm your host, and I'm looking forward to discovering the latest news and trends with you. So thank you for listening, and now let's talk Mercedes. When we dive deep into the production history of Mercedes-Benz, we have to go back to the late 19th century, to a garden house that Gottlieb Daimler had bought to do the first tests for the small high-speed internal combustion engine together with Wilhelm Maybach. Fun fact, one day during a midnight session, the police knocked on the door because the neighbors suspected that Daimler and Maybach were making counterfeit coins because they often heard knocking and the sound of metal. Well, from the garden house to modern factories and plants, a lot has happened in over 100 years. Especially within the last 2.5 years, Mercedes-Benz has been creating a smart, connected and sustainable factory on an area the size of 30 soccer fields. Factory 56. Today we're taking a look behind the scenes of this futuristic factory with Jörg Burzer and Ulrike Graze. Hi guys! I've got so many questions about this incredibly complex and huge high-tech factory. But before we start, let me quickly introduce you to the audience. Jörg, you're a member of the Board of Management Mercedes-Benz AG. Big responsibility, so big task for you. If you had to explain Factory 56 to a child, what would you tell them?
Well, we are describing the future of automotive production. This is a fact, and I try to do that with my kids as well, because they're also asking me, what are you doing the whole day? And what is so special? I heard something about this new factory in Sindelfingen. And I said, well, we're describing the future of automotive production.
And so you became the coolest dad on earth.
Well, I don't know, to be honest, but I try to at least.
Ulrike, you also have a great responsibility. You had the S-Class assembly. Speaking of childhood and children, did you have to be a puzzle freak in order to handle a job like yours?
Oh, I'm not sure if I became a puzzle freak, but I'm honest. The job is a big puzzle. You get the colored bodies from the paint shop, and you have to build S-Class, and I know I have the best team to do this puzzle and fix it.
So it's teamwork, and yes. Plant is a puzzle itself, I think, yes. And we're going to talk about that later. And I hope there's still an inner child in both of you, because at the beginning of each episode, we're going to do a little game with our podcast guests, and our loyal listeners knows it already. It's a game. I'll start and read out some lines, and I'd like you to finish them. I'm so curious about the first line, because so much is changing right now, and I'm pretty sure that there are young adults out there and they're asking themselves this question. So here's your first line. If I had to study once again today, I would study, Jörg?
Computer science.
Would you be able to do it, or is that just a wish?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I would.
Well, I don't
I
know.
Do
you know,
same,
my son, he started studying computer science in Karlsruhe, and obviously, I was into that. I tried to convince him to study mechanical engineering first, but he said, "Nope, no, that's not what I want to do. At least what I want to do, I do that." And we're talking pretty often. What are the differences? Because I'm an engineer. And it seems to be extremely exciting, I would say.
So you learn a lot of things from your son, changing
yes,
perspectives.
Yes.
So, Ulrike, what about you?
I would like to study mechanical engineering again. I think it's important for our factory, it's important for our plant, and together with Jörg, I think we will be a good team.
Yeah, that's a cool one, because you need diverse people, diverse
yes.
backgrounds, so you can challenge every task you have to solve every day. Secondly, my highlight or favorite place of Factory 56 is?
Can I start?
Yes.
My favorite place is the central office in the middle of the factory. And there I can tell you something. It's very exciting from the employees when we come into the central office. We are in the middle of all the lines there in the factory. And one employee in the morning came to me in the office and said, "Welcome home." And it was a nice feeling that they see you are in the middle of the factory and you are with them and you work with them. And every morning they look to you and then they ask sometimes, "Today you are not in a good mood." And I say, "Okay, yes, today I'm not in a good mood, but you can change it."
Yes. So is there a couch at all in this
place? Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now it's a living room. It's a plant and a living room.
Yeah.
So, Jörg, is it the coffee station or what is it for you?
Well, it's at least next to the coffee station. No, to be honest, I have two favorite places. One is next to the central office. It's next to the tech line, because this is for me a symbol of the production of the future, at least for us, for Mercedes-Benz. This is something new. It stands for flexibility. And the other favorite place is the roof.
So why?
Because
the
it's
roof?
Green and and we have a photovoltaic system on there. And this also stands for a completely different production approach, sustainability. This is something completely different to what we have planned the other plants for.
So still one more to go. And please remember, your colleagues are listening. If Mercedes asks me to do another project like this, let's say factory 65, I'd say,
well, let's do it again and let's learn from what we have done so far this time, and let's try to do it even a little bit better, I would say.
Great mindset, Ulrike.
Yes, I will do it again.
So it's been all about teamwork, I guess. And speaking of teamwork, before we start to talk about the factory, I've got an urgent question. I'm pretty sure the listeners, the audience out there has the same question. Do you have any UFO fans in your construction team, or why is it called Factory 56? It sounds like the mysterious Area 56 here.
Yes, the secret place somewhere in the US or something, because we have this Area 51. Mm. And to be very honest, some guys ask me from time to time, is that similar to what we... There are stories about that and whatever. No, it's very transparent, and it's absolutely clear what we are doing there. We are producing cars, the best car of the world, S class.
When the factory grows, my employees, we are in the neighborhood in another building, and they ask every day, "What's inside? Can we have a look?" And then for the last town hall meeting, we made a film with a drone and fly through the factory to show them what happened in this factory before they started there to build cars.
There was the opening ceremony. How did you feel that day? I mean, 2.5 years. Wow, that's a long time. Jörg?
Well, it was pretty emotional, but we all, the whole production team, the planning team, the operation team, everybody is very, very proud, because this is something special. It's one of the most modern automotive production facilities in the world, and we put all our innovation power in this site, in this place. And what we already can see is that that this will pay off.
So let's see what's going on the next years. Construction projects are often delayed, especially complex construction projects. In 2018, when the construction started, it was the third largest construction project in Germany. Jörg, did the deadline, September, ever make you nervous?
You know, 2.5 years, you mentioned it. It's a pretty short timeline, especially to integrate something new in an existing plant. But I was always convinced that we will make it. Yeah, because I think this was an outstanding and still is an outstanding teamwork.
Speaking of teamwork, Ulrike, when you first heard that you should be responsible for the S-Class assembly, what was your reaction? I mean, the honest reaction when you were alone in the room and the doors were closed.
Honestly, I have a big respect for the project, but with a team who worked with me together to build the factory and to build all the things we use now in the factory. And I know that I have my team in the background and they knew what it means to build an S-Class.
Yeah, it's a big and a tough task to handle all these things at the same time. And that's a good point for my next question. The assembly line has been working for about, let's say, 100 years. The production of Mercedes-Benz is on a high level and standard. So why did you decide to create a whole new production ecosystem, and why now, or why 2.5 years earlier?
Because we are all convinced that automotive production is changing. So if you planned a production facility 5 years, 6 years ago, the core topics, the main important topics were efficiency, technology. And now it, on top of that, it changed to focus really on the future and sustainability, flexibility, digitalization. So, and this was the core idea, the key idea to show really something completely different. And I think this was exactly the right thing to do.
And was your goal to really set kind of a benchmark for global production, or was it more like, okay, let's try another way, another huge dimension?
It's a benchmark for us, because what we will definitely do, we will take decisions and roll them out to our global production network, especially in terms of sustainability and digitalization. What we are learning here, you will find in the next couple of months, weeks and years in our other plants.
Mm. Ulrike, what makes the Factory 56 so special? What has increased with that factory?
The things Jörg mentioned, flexibility. Flexibility for me, like assembly manager, is very important. For example, we use AGVs, automatic guided vehicles, to transport our vehicles, our bodies, and to transport our materials. And with this AGVs, we are completely flexible, for example, in our tech lines. In the tech lines, we made automated processes like gluing the roof, or our cars get their name with a number. We print the number to the cars and so on. So it's really easy possible to change the line for the new model or for a second, third, fourth model only in one weekend. So we can implement several models or mixed models in our tech line, and we can do it also in our push platforms. We can do it in our overhead conveyors, and that's very special and flexible. And on the other way, we have young and experienced employees, and we have the chance in this factory that I can adjust every high I need to make the real efficient process at the car with the employee. So there's a lot of ergonomics we have designed, and there are a lot of other things that is necessary to become flexible, but on the other way, to become efficient.
Mm. Oh, yes. There was so much in there. I think we have to go through it one by one, but let me just do one step back, because I understand that it's all about technology, the physical space of the factory, and as you mentioned, the workflows of the people. So that's a highly complex ecosystem. I'm really curious, how did you start the planning? So where did you start it? For me, it's like a mysterious thing. I wouldn't have known where to start. The technology, the people, the factory itself. So just give us a little insight.
At the beginning, you always start with people, because that's the most important to us, our experienced people, because we can only build the highest quality cars with our experienced teams. So this is the center. And then the question obviously is, how can you support our teams to build these high quality cars? And then you come automatically to digitalization, because this was when you started planning, obviously, on the horizon. So, and how digitalization can support our teams to build these cars. So you start then with that, and then it's clear that this is another key topic. And then obviously you know that you have a responsibility for society as well. And then you end up thinking about sustainability. Yeah, because we have a big, big ambition at Mercedes and at Daimler, Ambition 2039, and we want to contribute in production as well to that. So, and then everything comes together, and then you start, and you're going more and more into detail, And then you end up with a sketch of a plant, which is a little bit different to what we see normally because it's new. And it's, again, we are describing the future of automotive production.
So to mention it, that's what I think very special about that project as well. It wasn't just a board member project. You also involved the employees. So even in the concept phase, right?
Yes. So we do that basically always. It's not like, you know, a board member knows everything. We have so many planning experts, but also so many ideas from our teams, how we can improve, for example, quality, how we can increase efficiency, how we can implement digitalization tools in production. Yeah, so they were really, really involved, and there are tremendous ideas coming out of this process.
When we talk about efficiency, the numbers speak for themselves. In which sectors have you become more efficient, and what do the according numbers look like?
For example, we have shopping carts in Factory 56. So the employees get the material directly to their process. For example, on a push platform, I can put 4 shopping carts, and so they only have 1 pitch, 1 return, get the part, mounted it to the car, and then they go back. And on the other side, we have picking zones where we pick these shopping carts, and then the shopping carts come to the line. And so the whole assembly process are more efficient than before, because I don't need to walk to a storage or to walk to a box and put the parts. That's one of the things we become more efficient.
So the result is, when I remember that right, you can reduce about 25% of energy required to the S-class, is that right?
25% of energy. We reduce
that's a number.
10 tons of paper every year because of digitalization. In every station, you see a screen, and on this screen, everything is shown for the people, what they need to build this car or their cars. And on the other hand, we have other screens like Quality Life, so I can look on my smartphone or I can look on the screen, and I know how the assembly line works, where it runs good, and so on. And so you can react very quick.
Let's have a look on the tech side of the factory. When I visited a factory, I think it was 10 years ago, I thought this is like Jurassic Park with robots. And it was so cool. And I'm pretty sure that there's even more sci-fi in it today. So IoT, Industry 4.0, which technologies shape the future of the factories most?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely not automatization. Yeah, coming back again to our teams, to our people. We are convinced that Mercedes, in Mercedes operation, in our production facilities, that this is the key enabler for producing high-quality cars. And what is the key technology, if you ask that? We think this is digitalization, because this supports our team members to really, as I said before, to really create, again, efficiency, to create quality on the highest possible level. I think this is, for us, the key technology, because then you can use the data much faster. You can solve problems, master challenges much faster at the end, and this is leading to a higher efficiency.
So what makes it truly smart? Is the factory learning things itself, or how can I imagine that?
Yes, it's basically a process where we enable the production line and our teams to gather and collect and store all data in a data lake, to use a digital ecosystem, which we call MO360, Mercedes Operations 360 Degree, which helps our team members to use this data wisely and fast.
So could you explain it a little bit further? Because I think it's a great story which has been developed, because it was not just the Mercedes-Benz department here. There were some IT tech guys with you, right?
Yes, so this was a teamwork. This was a combination between our planning guys, the IT guys, the operation guys at the shop floor, And what we are trying to do is we combine all our applications. We have applications called digital shop floor management, where we basically, as Ulrike described before, see what are the conditions and the core KPIs in the plant at the assembly line. And you can react to any challenges, upcoming challenges, very fast. For example, we have a system which is called Quality Life, where you see for each and every car the status, the quality status immediately, and also potential problems, and you can solve these problems immediately. And if you combine all these applications together, we integrate them into a digital ecosystem. And this leads to a much higher efficiency, because also in automotive production, speed is one of the key factors, and the speed of problem solving is one of the key factors for automotive production.
MO360 sounds, yes, again like Area 51, but if I understand you correctly, Ulrike, you mentioned it, there are a lot of different models and drivetrain technologies constructed in just one hall. It's such a holistic approach, in my opinion. But if I want to change something, let's say I want to produce another model which is completely different from the models today here, how agile are these tech lines? Do I have to reprogram everything if I want to implement a new model there, model construction? Or is it just like, here's the button and you have to click just that button, new model?
It's really easy to change a model or to implement a model. Yes, you have to do the digitalization, as Jörg mentioned, but that's not a secret. And then you can implement another model.
Mm-hmm. And if I got you right, you really have at least no paper, or is there still anywhere any paper?
No, we have no paper. The only paper we have are in the break zones when the guys wash their hands that they can.
The paper towels. As in every podcast episode, we also pick a current headline. Electronic Automotive, a platform of VK Trade Media, wrote, "Transformation of the automotive industry. New smart factories increase competitiveness." They mentioned Factory 56 in the article, so Mercedes is obviously headed in the right direction. But is one single factory enough to be competitive on a global market?
No, for sure, not just one single factory. But as I said before, it's also a learning journey for us, or a learning experience. So all the innovations we started, you will see them, and you also partly already see them in our global production network. So I mentioned Quality Life as a part of MO360, of our digital ecosystem. You can already see it, for example, in our plant in Alabama, or in our production facility in China. So, but the Factory 56 will play a key role in this innovation process, and this is extremely important for us to be really fit for the future.
So 2.5 years construction time, plus planning time, money, manpower. Is the Factory 56 flexible enough to be prepared for all possible future scenarios? What do you think? Or did you just focus on one scenario?
No, that's exactly one of the key success factors of this factory. We are flexible, and we are not just flexible in terms of working hours. We are flexible in terms of technology, and especially powertrain technology. So the next car which will be implemented after the launch of the new S-Class will be the EQS. And this means that we can produce two different powertrain technologies, EVs and ICEs, in one factory. So we can shift volumes, you can react to market demands, and this is extremely important. We do that with a full flex marriage. Marriage means where powertrain and chassis comes together. And full flex means full flexibility. So we can do that with ICEs, conventional powertrain technology, and battery-focused, also hybrids, obviously, and pure battery-driven cars. So this is one of the big advantages.
Data server machines, heating systems, you really need a lot of energy. How do you increase sustainability at the same time in a new ecosystem of Factory 56?
First thing, the roof of the Factory 56, 40% is covered with glass, and the other space is covered with photovoltaic. So we generate our own electricity, for example, for fans and for small things in the factory. Then we have LED systems in the whole assembly. And the overshoot we have from our electricity, we store in something like a battery or accu. And another important thing is that we recycle the concrete from the space where we built Factory 56 and use this in the department building.
So how much energy can you cover with the self-generated renewable energy? Is it more like 20, 30, 40% of it, of the electricity?
In general, as Ulrike said before, we will save 25% of the energy which we normally used for producing the predecessor. It's really a combination of all the tools we implement here.
Which is very, very complex. And sustainability doesn't play only a role in terms of material or emissions, but also in terms of, and I think that's your topic, the supply chain. What are the parameters? And could you frankly say there is still room for improvement when we talk about sustainability in the supply chain?
Well, the key topic in automotive production is that you cannot single out one specific step in the value creation process. You have suppliers, you have your supply chain, you have production, and then you have the outbound logistics of the produced cars. But what we want to achieve is until 2022, we want to produce worldwide CO2 neutral. CO2 neutral, this is one of the key topics we have.
Still not a deadline which makes you nervous?
No, because we are very, very focused on that, and it's also personal to me. And then obviously supply chain is also one topic. So we are working on all this.
The factory of the future has one more employee, and he's a robot, or let's say technology in general. Although there's already a lot of human-machine interaction at Mercedes-Benz, Factory 56 is a whole new level in terms of that. How do you enable people and machines for the corporation, Ulrike?
We started to enable the people 1 year ago, and then we have a qualification program to show the people and to show the robots how they have to work together.
A lot of people are still afraid of technology and especially the force of it. It's a fear of losing control. What's possible with a smart factory like Factory 56, let's say analysis, or is it optimization, or even autonomous controlling?
No, I think it's a mixture of all these three. And to make the people sure that they want to work there, we made something like a competition 2 years ago. And the people can say, I want to work in Factory 56. And I'm curious to know something about robot and human cooperation. I want to know more about digitalization. And when we know which people want to work there, we implement them in the old S-Class line and show them in a few pilots what they estimate and what they will do in the next years in Factory 56.
Mm. Jürgen, you're a fan of flexibility. In the past, the people were able to, sometimes do their own appointments and schedule that they want to do it, and which is good for their family and their everyday work. In a production line, it wasn't possible. Is there even more flexibility in their work, or is it still, you're working in a factory, it's not possible to be flexible?
Mm. Yes, digitalization is really also supporting the idea of increased flexibility of each and every team member working in the plant. So just imagine in a team of 1,500 people, working employees, working in Factory 56, you want to have somebody to trade a shift. How do you find the person? What you can do is you can use digitalization to find somebody to trade, because you have an appointment, private appointment or whatever. And this is increasing flexibility and also satisfaction of our teams. Yeah.
That's so super important. If we did the podcast again in 1 year, what would be your personal wish for the development of Factory 56?
Well, I'm convinced that we will build the best quality in automotive industry in this plan. So it's not a wish, it's just convinced. And I'm convinced that the team is working as close together as they are doing that today. My wish would be that I can see a lot of these innovations also implemented in all the other plants in our global production network. So if I go to China, if I go to United States, to our team there, I would be extremely happy to see how this is all implemented there.
At the end of each episode, we would like to take a look into the future. So what is your wish for traveling in terms of mobility in the future? What is missing, should be invented, or should be more widely distributed? Maybe when I have a look at you, please don't mind, but autonomous driving could be a good thing for you, because Ulrike is sitting here with, I don't know, is it a broken arm?
Yes, it's broken.
Yeah, it's broken,
arm,
so
yes.
She can't drive. Maybe it's autonomous driving for you.
Yes, autonomous driving could be a key fact. But I think it's not only traveling. For example, you can order your goods or foods you need for the dinner or so. I think it's a big thing we have to consider for the future. It's not only driving. I think you can drive with a car, but it's not only the driving. Autonomous driving, okay, yes. I think it will come. But the other things more important in the future.
Well, I'm convinced that in future we will still have individual mobility. I think this is one of the key topics also for our society. And, well, my wish for the future would be that we do that in the best sustainable way possible. We have extremely good plans at Mercedes-Benz. I'm sure we can achieve that. And perhaps we can even make it a little bit faster than we have planned.
And more flexible, of
yes.
course.
Yes.
All right, guys, thanks a lot for your time and for all these very interesting insights. And if you want to get more insights into the world of the new Factory 56, just check out our Mercedes Me Media. And as I mentioned before, the S-Class is also produced there. So if you want to listen to exciting stories about the development of the new S-Class, just tune into episode 4-6 of our podcast and listen to our S-Class special. And if you don't want to miss our next episode, subscribe to our podcast, Let's Talk Mercedes. And of course, we would love to hear your feedback. So leave a rating and a comment. Thanks for tuning in. Stay curious. Bye-bye.